that you're not going to be your lock bowman, right?
No way. No way. No chance. If I went the night, so my wife's going by day, and probably it's going to be the other way. And I hope it won't be like last year when I got there so late. I'll know that I better get there. I got to get out of here at like 12. I left last year late-ish, and I should have made it, but there. Go here, go there, and it's just very hard. Baruch Hashem. Thank you, Sam. I got there somehow, sort of. But I don't like the somehow sort of. I like getting there and having an hour or two at least. A few hours. It's beautiful, beautiful. It's so awesome.
So, Egid does not go to Morel now.
I don't know. They sublet it. These guys sublet it.
Okay.
The guys who won the contract have a grand total of 80 buses. They did like, I don't know how many runs. How many runs did it? Maybe 1,000 runs? I don't know. Like 80 buses. That's all they got. Yeah, it's a lot of, half a million. However many, it's a lot. Just
a
like
million.
How
do you,
80 buses. Yeah. Many people.
Well, they can't. They're going to rent Egid, supposedly. They're subletting Egid. So it's such a difference. I don't know.
They're renting Egid?
Supposedly, or some of Egid. So they tell me. I don't know.
So what, they're going to be, what, 2 to 3 million people at Morel?
There's a lot of people. No. There's got to be, like, again, some people say it's 500,000. I've heard 250,000. I don't know how many. I wasn't able to count. I don't know. There's an awful lot of folks up there. I don't know how many. I'm sorry. I don't know. I really don't.
Well, you know, there were, what, 8 million people in Israel?
Yeah. Yeah, listen, it's however much it is, it's an awful lot of people. Baruch Hashem, Rizokhe, it's the highest thing. The highest thing, you know, Rebbe Shimon, they once, who was it? The Visitor Rebbe. The Visitor Rebbe once went to visit the Kleisenberg Rebbe. And the Kleisenberg Rebbe asked him, he said, I don't understand, or the other way, I don't remember. He said, why are all these people who have no connection to anything coming through Rebbe Shimon from Israel? Like, oh, they go, they roast their sheep, hopefully they slaughter it in a kosher way, hopefully. You know, more or less, and they're, you know, more or less, and they're barbecue more or less, and are they keeping Shabbos more or less? Hopefully, right? So, what are they doing here? You say, are you religious? Nah. I just go to Bishino. I will never miss. What drawing? What's attracting you? There's like nothing. You know, you think, okay, go up to a lot. Like, what are you coming to Meron? Same effort, same money. Tens, wait there. What are they doing there? So, he said, listen, I want to tell you. We know that in Halacha, Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds that Dovah Shimon's Kavan's Mutter. In terms of Shabbos, if you do something without having intention, it's okay. Like, it works out. B'di'evit, like, after the fact, it's okay. You can use, it's not, you didn't do a malacha. You didn't mean it. You didn't mean this to be the result of your actions. Even if it's an automatic result, it's a pretty clear result, put it like that, if you want to say it. He's like, no, you don't mean it. It doesn't have any. And he says, these people, they don't know better. They don't mean it. And they feel inside, he's their defender. So they come to him. They in droves, they come to him. They know he's the guy, he's taking care of us. He's the guy, we're in Enum Iskali. That's a beautiful reason. That's very beautiful. That's what we're getting by Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon was very harif, he was very sharp. And he was very forte zor, but the highest thing. But bottom line, for the people who can't do much, he's always very gentle and taking care of them. He's not, you know, this would be a perfect time, maybe at 4:30 we'll do about what you do it when you're by a tzaddik. What are you trying to get? What are you doing? What are you? You know, I mean, people say, you know, there's like a house of worship up the block from me. It's not a synagogue, and it sounds a little, I don't know. I speak to people, it sounds a little too close. Religious Jews, sounds a little too close to the, what is it? What are you doing? What are they doing? What's the difference? So, it would be good to have a clarify what exactly, I mean, it's in the Rizal, it's not from the Rinachman only, it's in the Rizal, it's in the Zohar. And what is this? What are you trying to do exactly? And where are the limits? And where is it like, no, that's over, that's out of the pale, that's over the edge, which is where they're way over the edge. But that's too much. And what's the exact difference? What are you trying to do? What's the point? That's maybe Dali really wanted to hear that, so maybe 4:30 today, Bez Hashem, we'll do it.
Great.
Because it has a shaykhess, because we'll do the path of the joy of the tzaddik. We're the people that tzaddik. That's a great reason to be happy. Okay, what does that mean, and what are you talking about? So, Bez Hashem. I hope we'll do it today. See after the Shema. Now we're in the middle of a mikveh. What's the mikveh? Oh, we're in the mikveh here. What's a mikveh? What's a mikveh? Gam tichre. Okay. What that I did. Okay.
Question.
Oh, sure.
I want to know why so many non-religious people who don't even use a mikveh donate money to build a mikveh.
They know it's a holy cause, I guess. I don't know.
What do you think that is? Is there like a certain schus you get from building a mikveh?
Uwah. Uwah. Big. Gigantic. Not stuff. Mikveh not. Giving you life. You're giving you life. That's a... told the story before. I don't know who's heard it. It's an incredible, beautiful story. Just the Kodesh, rest them. It was a person who was murderer, basically. I mean, he was Jewish. He was a coach, a wagon driver for these opportunists. During the communist revolution, they sort of went around and they just plundered and did whatever they wanted. They did basically take the Ten Commandments, take any relevant ones. They did them all. No problem. This one, that one, whatever ones you want. Anything you want, more or less, they were doing. And, how many times did he kill someone? How many times did he do this? How many times did he do that? I don't really know, but it was too many times. I wanted too many times. Way, way too many times. So, you know, he came to... Eventually, the communists started taking over, and they were looking for these guys. What are these guys? Just maniacs going around in a wagon with weapons and just, like, attacking people because they feel like it? Taking their money? What's it? Doing this and doing that? What, are these guys crazy? So... he heard about the investigation, so he knew the guy in Uman. He had connections to the governor. So the communist or ruler, whatever it was, the person, the high guy in the party, or whatever you'd say, man high up. And somehow he went to, he made a deal. He said, listen, he'll be in Uman. Just leave him alone. This is the town where he has protection. So he, you know, they arranged it. They just sort of dropped this. They lost his file. Okay. So he's in Uman, and everything's fine. No one's doing anything to him. He's okay. Everything's okay. It comes time to say kaddish for his father. So he goes into one shul after the other. No one will say Amen after. They know what he did. They know who he is. We're not saying Amen to you. You can say Kaddish on your own. We're not your minion. We're not your nothing. He knows nothing. He walked out. In short, it was very unpleasant. The one place where he walked in where the people didn't leave or make him trouble was Breslev. Breslev, you don't throw anybody away. Everybody has hope, no matter who you are. No matter even a murderer. Yeah, you're a murderer. We feel bad for you. You're taken. Don't ask us how you're going to do it. But everything's possible. And he started saying Kaddish, and they answered like regular. And then one of the big Obedim, I forgot his name, he sort of strolled over there, and he said, Shalom Aleichem. He said, now that you already said Kaddish, maybe you should put on tefillin. You don't want to put on tefillin. Like, in a nice, very gently. Like, oh, why not? Put on tefillin. And it sort of woke him up, and he started coming a little more, and coming a little more. Tefillin the tshuva. And the whole town was up in arms. These breserists, I'm telling you, they're crazy. They're nuts. I mean, yeah, it says you can only do tshuva, but it's an exceptionary rule. And this man, he is the exception. They're on the stage, you kill one human being really, not even a Jew, anybody, you destroy his temple of king, and no one will have up, like, bye, no way, how are you going to get there? So this guy killed not one, many, for no reason, no, he wasn't a soldier, he wasn't nothing, just for being part of an opportunity, but just to get for the opportunity, why not? I mean, you can't fix that, you can't fix that, what are you going to do? These guys are, they're not, you can't resurrect them, so what are you going to do? How are you going to fix that? So the rest of them, they're overdoing it this time. This guy, just forget it. I don't care if grow the longest pays, grow the longest beard, daven the longest davenings. I don't know, do whatever you want, take a call anybody, do whatever you want. Nothing's going to help you. Forget it. That was their attitude. The rest said, what's up? We have Rebbe, his name is Rebbe Nachman. He said, this means, don't give up, is kiptuto. It means, like, not whoever. And Rebbe Nachman says, I don't care if you did every Avera in the Torah 800 times. No matter what, there's hope for you. He didn't do every Avera, he didn't do it 800 times. He did a lot, but there's hope. So you ask us how we fix it? You don't know how to fix this, I don't really know, but Shem will send the way. Nothing said that Shem will send the way. Okay, these guys are Meshuggah, we knew they were Meshuggah anyway. Years later, the commissary starts cracking down, there's not much food. And this person, you know, he was feeling it, like what he'd done and where he'd been. So he really went out of his way to get food. So anybody who needs food and knew, if you're hungry, you need food, you're literally starving, anyone, whoever you are, can drop in on him, he'll give you food anytime. Every time you want. And he gave food as much as he had, whatever he had, he gave away. And he literally saved life after life after life. Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender came over, and this is why it wasn't the story for doing anything. He came over to me and said, Moshe, you kill Jews. Give Jews life. Find us a mikveh. Find a mikveh. In Uman, there's no mikveh. We need a mikveh. There's no mikveh anywhere. You're not allowed to have a mikveh. It's illegal. They're cracking down. We need a mikveh. So he took his spade and his shovel, he went to his barn, his stable, whatever it was, and started digging. He digs 5 meters, 10 meters, no. He dug down 50 meters and hit water. And he made a mikveh and he risked his life. Because if he's caught, this is already overly much, you know, we know religious is worse You could be a thief, you could be anything, but being a religious person was almost as bad, or maybe worse, it's not clear, as being a capitalist in the communist Russia. To say I traded money was like worse than stealing, it doesn't matter what you did. To say you were a capitalist was the worst thing, and religious also could be, they could take it the wrong, the worst thing. Fine, very good, so that's what happened, he made a mikvah. So after a while, people are like, it's going on and on this way, that he's the mikvah, and he's the man bringing the food one way or the other way, somehow finagling food for people who just can't make it without it. So this, you know, maybe the progressives, they had a point. Here, let's look, let's put on, yeah, he killed people, but he's saving a lot more people, saving their lives. I mean, these people would die. He is the man saving them. No one else can do it. We can't get the food together. He eats them out. His connections, I don't know what he does, somehow he gets them, gets food together. No mikvah spiritually, so who knows what he did, terrible things, the opposite of taking up risks and good things. Here he is, making a mikvah and saving the whole town from terrible avarice. Maybe he managed it. Maybe it's not so bad. It's hard to know. What's exactly the ledger here? There's something going on here. He had an opportunity, which is maybe he fixed it after all. So you never know. We mikvah is a very big schus. That's the basic. It's like saving a life. It's very, very. We can't. You know. Neither is nod hay. Neither the Zohar says neither is nod hay. The hay goes away. There's a very profound Zohar in. We got it together, I think, maybe. Very, very profound. It's very deep. Still thinking about it. I tried to look a little what it said, the commentators, but I with difficulty had time to learn whatever Zohar I wanted or not learn whatever Zohar I wanted, so I certainly commentators just didn't work. Then we packed them all up in these boxes there. Who knows where they are? They're somewhere in my house, Baruch Hashem, but don't ask me.
Yeah.
No, the Mahsan has nothing, but in this room, it's like full of books, Baruch Hashem, boxes of front, so there's no way I'm going to find it.
As my wife says, you'll find it when you pay Pesach Queen.
Because
we always find things when we pay Pesach Queen.
Tell me about it. But I hope before then, I'll find it because I need it, but I didn't have a chance to look enough. I looked a little, it was very beautiful. It says something very, very profound. It says that a woman has a cycle where she menstruates. It says that's an aspect of dinim. It's like the blood represents dinim. The dinim, in times to come, is going to destroy all the enemies of holiness. It's all going to like use that. Those dinim are going to destroy everything negative. It's a very, very deep idea. Like, what does that mean? I don't know. On a simple level, like the way I understood it, on like without learning anything, so I don't really. I'm just looking at it, reading it. I read the Musa Midrash. He didn't help me often enough. He's not trying to tell you what it means. He's saying this is what the Zohar says, and the Ari doesn't say anything more about it. If the Ari says about it, he'll tell you what the Ari says, the spirit or whatever is about it. Otherwise, he doesn't. Very often, he's not interested in necessarily telling you what it means. This is what it says. So I think I read it. Just part of skimmed it, and he didn't say much. For me, the way I understood it, just again, I have no idea if it's correct or not, but the way I understood it was that there's like good dinim, there's good judgment, it's going to be used for good things, which is like, it protects the family as it was, it does something so that they're able to get through what they need to get through, they're able to do it, it's like, it's a protection, it's a kind of shmira. That's the way I understood it. But also now, it's good. There's a separation, there's a shmira, and then there's positive din.
What's
and
shmira?
Then it could, a protection. It's a special protection afforded, and that's what she has somehow. That was my, again, is this true? I don't really know.
Yeah, it takes all the
pain. I didn't, huh?
It takes all the pain.
Yeah, that's the way it's seen from, because again, it's making the relationship, I want the Ramak, I don't have the Ramak yet. I guess
it's the
Ramak.
Concept with the women when they're dressed new on, since the times of David Miller, no one died in wars. Why? Because all the women were slain.
Sneas for sure does it. No, for sure. And Nida is also very, very. It for sure is a big school of for life. It's a big.
For sure, the Nida is.
For sure. For sure. No, but it was interesting to find. No, that's for sure. For sure, Nida, like. It can
make it going, they don't.
They don't need to, though.
No, but that's the whole thing. They have to need.
Yes. It's true.
And it goes back. In ancient, most ancient traditions, I read it. They did say that they have a...
They did do some sort of need, though. Yes, it's true. They had whatever they had.
If their husband... This is written in the home laws. Mm-hmm. It said that the man was with his wife on the first night of Ramida, their child, when they grew up, 10 years old, in his first 10 years of his life, he would get Christ in Israel.
I don't know.
And if there was on the second night, and if it was on the third night, if it was third.
They for sure had a tradition not to be with the woman while she's menstruating. For certain, that's for sure.
And even nowadays, in medical terms, they have these for too. They create a pregnancy and ovarian outside of the ovary canal when the outside of the fallopian tubes. If the egg goes outside, which is during nida, the egg goes outside the fallopian tubes and it's called ectopic pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And it's very dangerous, and women can die from it.
I have to admit, I figure it's, I just don't know.
So they tell most women do not do this when you're bleeding, because you could die from it.
I honestly don't know. It is interesting. I think that my understanding, which is definitely likely imperfect, is that it's almost impossible for a woman to get pregnant when she's I understand. It seems to be like a very rare possibility, but especially then, I never heard of such a thing. But again, that doesn't mean it's not true. I just don't know. I don't know. I can't speak of whatever. I know what the Rebbe. The Rebbe says that Avraham Avinu had to go through the fiery furnace because he was conceived. His father wasn't careful. About everyone else in their time was careful.
I remember that he did it intentionally.
Right.
Yeah.
And his father was intentional to deal with his wife when she was in Egypt.
Yeah, he was. Again, he wasn't careful not to stay away from her. That's the reason. That was, it could be that he was such a pregnancy. I don't know. Oh, that's thinking of the fine. So that's it. So anyway, so for sure, keeping Nida laws prolongs life. For sure, Nida also, like I mentioned before, Nida is definitely one of the best ways of making a relationship, a real bond between the husband and wife, and not just physical. It cannot remain only on the physical level because there's a break. So it can't stay that immature. It has to be hopefully, at least usually, the person's, if a person's not normal or he has problems, so then make me a person first, then we'll see about how I deal with halacha that is supposed to help me. But it certainly does create a very strong need. If something's needed there, that it has to be provided, not physical. In fact, the halacha needed not even a lot of touch, so it's why don't touch each other. So then definitely, it's only relating person to person. Not anything else, and that's a very powerful thing as well. And for sure, in the deeper sources, it gives longer life, it gives deeper life, and it's one of the biggest impurities, defilement that could be. But nevertheless, is that what I said, Pshat Nazor? Is that true? Is that that's what it is? Because it's a shmir, it protects. Could be, I don't know. I'd like to see the remark, I'd like to see a few other things. Come on, I looked quickly, I didn't get there yet. So the reading was so beautiful, but I only spent one time on it, and didn't get up to it. So hopefully I will. So Hashem, we're very lucky, very lucky. Very, very lucky. Okay.
There's a city in Israel, which I don't remember the name. It's the old city where they studied the Talmud.
Uh-huh.
Is that Sephori? Is that the city in Israel?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because every house they excavated in the city. In the excavation they found that every house had a mikvah.
Oh, of course.
Wow.
No, of course, because we don't begin to live like they live. We just can't do it. That's why the Shlokar says, no tzaras. He says, you're anyway defiled. You guys don't have, you're not on the level to tzaras. Skin disorders that are from heaven. So you don't have to, this is not what it's about. This is not what it means. That's not what it is. You're not there. Forget it. You're totally. You're way. We're like, this is like in the sky. And you're like, you're in your bicycle, your tricycle. You say, well, when will I have to avoid the birds when I'm flying? You're not flying. You're in a tricycle on the ground. You're not going anywhere. You're not, that's where you are. Just know it. Understand it. You're not there. You're not there. Okay. So for sure, they all had a mikvah because they had to be pure. They had no mattresses unless they were for sure to be pure. But no, it was like all. It was a totally different. you know, today a person accidentally brushes his wife, he's like, oops, sorry, okay, I messed up, you know, to himself, like, whoops, that was heavenly, I have to try to be more protective. For me, because I'm not supposed to, we're not supposed to touch now, it's nida. But if you brushed against a lady in the shuk by accident, or close, you had it immersed, or worse, what you were, you also got, you got the file. You can't, you messed up, you know, oh no, what did I do? So that's why there were some people, you know, you don't know, like, and you don't mean her either, it's not her. It's whoever, like, it's very, today these halachas, and a man also, by the way, could be a ziva, if he has an admission that has got to do with, illicit thoughts, if he has an admission, or other reasons, because of, from sickness, so type of sickness called a ziva, he also got the same halachas. The only way this
it's in Hagiga. We covered that. It's like when Mashiach comes, hopefully today. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have to start enforcing this, right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Turn it up a notch.
It sounds like it. For the Rambam, it seems like it. It's not clear. It's clear that Ari says that the problem of Nida started only after they ate from the Eitz Hadas. Before they ate that fruit, everything was fine. So does that mean there wasn't Nida? Does that mean that the blood from Nida was not a problem? I have no idea. Does that mean childbirth didn't hurt at all? There was no pain in it. What was the problem? Very easy. It's a whole... What exactly... I don't know if I might have seen Mary Kaplan for that, it's possible. But what exactly does that mean is not clear. But so Tuna Tama might be the same thing. The fact that there's defilement is because there's Yitzhahara, but it's not clear the whole. These periods are not. I could just read Nachman says when Mashiach comes, you have free choice, just like today, to have illicit thoughts. He said, but if you have illicit thoughts, you're going to get slammed. You're going to take out metal bars and beat the dead out of you. And obviously, that does not have to mean physically, it could just mean. You're going to get it, you're going to know that you're in trouble. That's basically, somebody needs to pull up a bar on you. You'll lose your vacuums, whatever it means, you'll feel it, and you'll be in trouble. So what is going to happen, and we have no idea. We're sitting in, Rav Nassim implies, not so bishmak, but Rav Nassim, he's like, if it was the last second before 6,000 years, I still wouldn't at all be confused. And it sounds like, Rabbi Nachman said it's going to be at least 100 years in his time. We hope they're wrong. We hope the Mashiach will come every day and can, but you know it's not so simple. We gotta fix things also. We're not giving up on anybody. No soul. That's not like we come long ago. Give up on people? No problem. These guys are out. There's no one out. Otherwise, we probably, unfortunately, wouldn't be here. We'd be in a much worse, so who knows where we'd be or what we'd be with us. So here, because of us, they don't give up on us. So here we are, come back again to try again not to mess up. That's the idea.
Rusted, this year he's supposed to come on this job.
Could be. I mean, Rinachman again. It's a little bit of killjoy what Rinachman says about all his calculations.
Yeah.
He says, the Gemara says he's going to come Behesach Hadas without people even realizing it. So he said, anytime you make a calculation, the only thing you're really guaranteeing is that he will not come when you say it.
Right.
He won't come. He'll come other times because you're expecting him. So he, for sure, you just messed up the time. You're like, you X the time. This won't happen. Like, too bad. What did you do that for? I don't know. What did I do that for? Don't ask me. That's how one of you.
I have a very close friend who does Torah codes.
Uh-huh.
And he teaches at the OU Center. Uh-huh. On Wednesdays. And, every year he says, it's supposed to be this year because of the Gematria.
Yeah, of course. Don't do it anymore. I still remember in 10th grade. I was in 10th grade, the Challenger blew up. I was in 9th grade. Challenger blew up. Boom. No more Challenger. So this guy, friend, my seatmate, I think during class, in the middle, hopefully it was a break. Anyway, he started telling me all the gematria from the Parsha. This one's name, and this one's going to blind, it's going to blow up, and this will happen, and that will happen. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. We can hear that. He said, I heard it from some guy in shul. How did he, happen yesterday? How did he do that? He said, I asked him that. I said, wow, you have 20 different in the Parsha showing this. He said, no, I worked out both ways. If it would work this way, and I'm using the other papers, so sometimes Gematria, you have to be careful not to, it's not so simple. Sometimes you can.
No, he has a whole program.
I'm sure he does. I'm sure it's good. I'm just saying, I don't, for me, I was like, I hope. So I said to him, I hope that's not true. I really hope that's not true. It's not Gishmak. Gematria is very, very tricky. I have a schuss. not so simple. How to, what the, what, the Arizal brings a lot of gematrias, but it's the spiritual content in gematria, the number which equals something, and why that is, and how that is very, because it's beyond, we don't even really understand. Why is that? How is that? Because we don't, like the Arizal says, because letters, they don't, Hebrew letters don't belong here. They're not from this world at all. They're just a gift, we can say. That's why many authorities were very upset when people started speaking Hebrew as a language colloquially. It's not so good in a certain way, and they didn't, the Yiddish or Ladino, because we're not on the level, and you're defiling the this holy, holy language. I mean, now we, that this is where we are, this is who we are, this is where we are. Again, some say it's primitive, some say not. Some say you're not to talk Hebrew in the bathroom, for example. Just in the codifiers. So you can, it's not so clear how to, there's this opinion, here we're sort of, it was decided for us, we're not to, this is where it is, this is where you are. When he speaks on Hebrew, what's he supposed to do? So that's why he uses his Hebrew to express anything. But it's not so simple, because these letters are just so high. They don't belong here. They don't. When we say the Hebrew language, the Hebrew alphabet, Charles' Hebrew alphabet, every letter, it's also Zohar, goes up in fire to the throne of glory. We don't understand what we think that it's Aleph, Beis, it's no big deal. It's a big, big, big deal. Every letter, every... We don't understand what where we're going, where we're reaching with every little letter, every little thing. So we don't, you know, that's gematrius is equal, so you have to be a great person to know what's really equal what. And then, it's because that's the way this works. It's like, oh, you look and say, wow, that's amazing. So sometimes it can be hard to know what and when and where, all these things like, it's not so easy to work out. It's something that's metaphysical, it's above, it's beyond. That's all I can, so I don't
know. On the same subject, what do we do when people say that Mashiach's at the door?
He is. He is. No problem.
Okay.
He is. I mean, I always say, like, truth, to be honest, like, it's not, again, it's not so pleasant, but there are two things that are important. Thing number one is that the Baal Shem Tov stressed Mashiach HaPrati, that means my personal Mashiach, but nothing also. It's from the Gemara. You have understanding, Mashiach came for you. So you gotta like sort of get that happening. That's the main focus. We want Mashiach, but we also want to. I want to be ready for Mashiach. I don't want to be in a place where, you know, just give me a freebie and I'm not changing anything past the chips. No, let's change the channel and bring Mashiach. That's not what we're trying to do. We want to change. It's slow. It's hard. We're asking Hashem for a gift. It's true, but it's not so simple.
I mean, when I see Rabbi Zabrodi's website, which is, you know, the official English channel, it says Mashiach's at the door. It's
he
like,
is. He is.
It's like, oh, okay.
No, he is. He for sure is. But again, we have to... There are different bechinas. There are different things we don't begin to understand. We're trying to wake up. We want to wake up our connection to Hashem. And that's what we need to do. We need to find our own Mashiach, first of all. What will happen to Mashiach? There's actually a question. There's a very strange question. I heard certain great people ask this question. Why should we want Mashiach? Because when Mashiach comes, there won't be Bechira. You won't have free choice, and then you don't have your mess. You're losing your opportunity to change for the better. Use your chance. You have a chance to make yourself greater, and now you can't to get a higher level. So I don't know. So one great Mashkiach said, "Well, you have to think about the general, the people. For the populace is good for you personally. It's maybe not so good. Doesn't matter. But one Rebbe Chassid I know, he said it so well. He said, you know, the Jewish people, they're really clever." Nation, if they're waiting for something for 2,000 years, you can be sure it's good. I don't say you have to understand everything. You know, it's good. If it comes, great. So it's going to be good. Don't worry about it. Don't let it worry you. And we're trying to draw. We're trying to draw down the orb. We're waiting. I mean, it's one of the 13 principles of faith, equilibrium of fundamentals of faith, is to yearn away from Mashiach. We're waiting for Mashiach to come every day. The other thing I wanted to say is that there are different... There are different ways of approaching how do I do this? Is it acceptable to demand Mashiach? And this is not a new, people think the Rebbe of Chabad. I mean, this is an old question from Talmidim of the Magid. Rabbi Nachman said, you may not demand Mashiach. It's not proper. You don't demand. We want Mashiach. Now, one, I don't know, a little bit of a sharp person said, it sounds like we want the pizza now. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not saying, I don't know. That's what they said. Not to try to put anyone down. This person is not Hasidic, obviously. But they're a little sharp. Again, it's like a little... So, but there are different... But there are, in the Talmud of the Magid,
maybe before the Baal Tanya, the Baal Tanya is contemporary. I think the Moranayim, there are a few that say you have to demand, they say exactly the opposite. Yes, you say we want it, but now it's coming to us, with Esk Hashem, we want it, it'll come. Again, there are two streams of thought with that as well. So then, whether it's appropriate to, I don't know how what you were aiming for at it with the question, whether it's appropriate to demand or it's a question. Nachman says it's better not. You don't demand, you ask. You petition, you plead, you don't demand. That's what Nachman's. Usually, he does have a place for demand. If you're a tzaddik, or if this is your inyan, you're waking yourself up, and that's how you do it. Sometimes there is such a thing as, like, you know, who was it? Shmuel Isaac, when they made the machlokas of Rav Nosson, he went to the team, to Rinafman, and he said, there's a supposed to be a human sota. Sometimes there's a merit that can protect for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. So he said, that's 3 years later, that was the end of machlokas. But Rav Nosson heard about that, he was very upset. Who told you to do well? Nobody asked you to get involved. Well, don't ask Hashem for help. We're not going to fight. We're not fighting, not spiritually, not this way, not that way. That's not what we do. But I don't, again, I'm not saying, I'm not getting involved. They're just different streams of thought. But yeah, we should be yearning for Mashiach. But our main focus, from a breast point of view, if you ask me, okay, as a breast center, is my job to think all day about Mashiach? The answer is a resounding no, definitely not. You know, the Chiddush Orim points out, it says in Shulchan Aruch, a person who has profound fear of heaven will be distressed and upset because of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a temple. So the Chiddush Orim, he says, I don't understand. And if you don't have profound fear of heaven, you don't have to care. Beis HaMikdash, I don't care about that. Chas v'shalom. Well, I mean, why does it have to do with profound fear of heaven? So he says, don't you understand? Don't you get it? If you don't have your Shemayim, you should be distressed about your situation. The Beis HaMikdash, where am I? I'm like so far. I'm thinking about the Beis HaMikdash. That's not, you're supposed to be crying about your problem, not because of the Beis HaMikdash. Your Chatzos is like, where am I? Where in the world am I? Rachman said also, you have to make it personal. Like, who knows, my actions are keeping Beis HaMikdash away. Who knows, keeping destruction. Who knows what I did in another lifetime, even if you can't find any. Today, it's usually we don't have to come on to that. We already have enough of our own problems. But some people, I guess, they're very pure. They were maybe an earlier Gilgul when I was here, earlier in reincarnation, maybe I even burnt through what I did. Okay, very good. Most of us, again, I don't know where you guys are, but I know for me, I have enough to work on my own. I have enough, plenty, Baruch Hashem, to work out my own problems. And Baruch Hashem, I see a lot of advancing, and hopefully there'll be a lot more advancing. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So I have no problems, Baruch Hashem. I'm on the Yerushalayim part, Baruch Hashem. So,
I mean, the impression I get is like any day now. I mean, literally.
Yes, definitely true. And that's what we're supposed to feel. That's the 13th fundamental of faith. But again, should it be that my main avoda? Usually I would say no. But it depends. It's also personal. I mean, if that's what works for you, that's what works for you. And obviously, there's a stream of chassid thought, which is very important and very beautiful and very effective, that holds yes. Come on. They hold yes. Of course. No. It's better. Don't focus on yourself. As much focus on that they have a different, they have their own sheep, which has its own place in Breslev in its own way, and Breslev is also a little bit different too. Very interesting to talk about how the Hasidic movements come together.
They have something in common. They send you to death, ignite, depressed.
Oh, yeah. Not true. This is not true. It's not true. That's his own. That should not be true. I'm sorry. Not enough chizik. Sorry. Yes, but that's already. Now we're talking about something different. Now we're talking about criterion for knowing who is Mashiach and then what they'll do when we find him, right? So then we're able to appoint the Sanhedrin. See, if I remember right, it comes out that we don't have a Sanhedrin before the Rambam. We have the Rambam first, the Mashiach, sorry. I think we have the Mashiach first. I don't remember, to be honest. It's been a long time, unfortunately. But, actually, yeah, some of the criteria to knowing who is Mashiach. He brought more than half the Jews closer. Yeah, he's on a very high, place, for sure. Absolutely. But these things are not so simple, like how to, in terms of, In terms of breathless, we're supposed to go to sleep very happy. Not depressed, Khalilah. We're supposed to be very happy. That's our job. Happy. Thank you, Hashem.
Not even if you're being rebuked often?
It doesn't matter. I hope I'm sorry. Again, if nothing he said, he's tried. He said before Shavuos, he tried to work out what to say. He said, I'm a little bit under pressure because, of course, he had a crowd of people, but, you know, 80 people, that's pretty a lot of people. He said, I'm not sure if I give too much encouragement, it won't help people in a higher place. And if I give too much, I won't help people who need the encouragement. And higher or lower is hard, not the right word. But if he needs encouragement, he needs, how do I balance it? I don't know what to say. So it's not so, we have to be able to be happy no matter what. That's really what it comes down to. That no matter what happens, I need to be happy. So that means I have to learn how to think differently. Mikvah, I need a mikvah. I need a mikvah. That's really what it comes down to. I need a mikvah. Mikvah is a lot of things. But mikvah is also chesed. Mikvah is chesed. Sometimes you just go through chesed every day. If we're focused on helping people, that cures all of our problems. It's like bringing korbanos. Helps them. The mother should do one of the highest things you can possibly do. Try to help another Jew. It's the biggest thing. You have to really focus on what am I doing already and see the positive in it and be rejoicing. If you're helping the people who knows where they go otherwise, if you're part of such an organization, it's really being thrilled. It's really, thank you so much. This opportunity, it's just free. What do I do to get this? I don't know. I don't know how I got here. No, a lot of people that go through life, you know, they retire or they do this or they do that, and like they're pretty chill out. You know, what are you doing with your life? Well, I do this, I do that, I'm your police. I don't get into it. You ran into this guy on the bus. I don't know if I ever spoke about this interesting story. You ran into the guy on the bus. He's like, so upset. Oh, I'm so upset. Oh, babe, what happened? When was Levaya Chas V'Shalom? He said, no, my car died. My car, my poor car. Oi, I can't do this. Buses, how do I get a bus? You know, it's not so bad. A bus, Baruch Hashem, is public transportation. And you know, you can even learn on the way. You can even learn. It'd be beautiful. You use your time instead of being on the road. You can learn Torah, speak Torah, try to. No, I can't stand waiting for these buses and being on these buses. I just can't do it. Remember, poor guy, he said to me, I'm just a regular guy, and I sit on the bus, I learn to do my best. You know. So where you go? I asked him, where are you going? So I'm going to, I volunteer to help, whatever he was doing, to do something. I should just sit around in the house. So maybe taking a tourist here. No. The guy didn't. You have to be very, very happy. It's like, that's a foundation. It's very hard to really make it real. Very, very difficult. There was once this cab driver who the stifler was took him in the cab, and he was very upset. He was so upset, he started to cry. He said, "No, I don't have time to learn. I work very hard all day for my living, and here I am, and I show up my daf yomi every day, and I open my Gemara. I start to listen with less intensity. Within 5 minutes, I'm fast asleep every day." I mean, I feel broken to pieces. I don't learn a word. I can't learn anything. I'm desperate to learn. I just can't learn. And here I'm all day driving. I grew up here. This type of said, "You're so lucky. I'm jealous of you. You're all day thinking about learning. And then you sit in this chair, you do your best, and you fall asleep. It's as if you were there. You don't have to. You do your best. You don't have to feel bad about it. You should feel happy. Thank you, sir. I'm a shiur. I go. You know, I do. I understand. I don't understand. I don't care what it doesn't matter. Yeah, we go, we do it. We have to be happy no matter what happens. No matter what. That's the first rule. That's the first rule. That's what we're supposed to be going to be happy. You're right. Sometimes we forget. So we have so much work to do, we forget that I have to be happy. That's the foundation of everything. No. It happens. That's the first thing. Chabad also, by the way, you're supposed to have deep contemplation, and that's supposed to make you happy if it works for you. If it stops working for you, you're in big trouble, unfortunately. But hopefully, it'll continue working for you. If it does, so then you're just in a different world, it's a blind, beautiful place, and everything is wonderful, everything's great. Lavavado, it's all Hashem, and this deep, long, beautiful Torah, this contra for Torah, which just wakes you up and moves you, and amazing, that's beautiful. If you can do it, if it talks to you. So mikveh is all the different permutations of tshuva.
And what?
All the different permutations of tshuva. Different ways of doing tshuva. Tshuva on all levels. Tshuva in our mind, tshuva in our heart, tshuva in every aspect of emotion, of action. It's all tshuva. That's what mikveh is, yeah.
You said permutations?
I think that's the word. Different.
Yeah, permutations would be accurate.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
It says that it's the four ekes, Aleph, K, Yud, K, four different ways to write it out. Eke means different aspects of tshuva, so it comes out that that's the four aspects, different elements of tshuva, doing tshuva, no matter what. Using fire for tshuva, using water for tshuva, using everything, every part of a person for tshuva. That's the first thing, that's number one. That's the first thing you have to keep in mind.
That's pretty nice.
It is heavy. So now that's, you go to mikveh, you wipe it if you want. You have to want. If you want to, so when you go to mikveh, the first kavana is, I want to do tshuva. That's easy. It's really not hard. You know, just I want to do tshuva.
That's
only
a result. No,
that's not true. No, that's the result. That's our result. That's our result. And just plug in Rav Nosson and the result. That's exactly it. There's no way to. Eke is tshuva. That's the Zohar.
I have to do that.
What was the last time you learned the Ari? And so, you know, like that's maybe why. You learn the Ari, it's clear. If you learn the Ari with Chassidus, it's obvious. You're right, maybe you have to think a little. If you ask somebody who knows the Ari with Chassidus, you say, okay, so tell me. So the Ari says that the mikveh is four times ekir, right? You have the ekir with the heis, which equals mikveh. So it's alfan pei, hei, hei, yubadal, hei, hei, right? That's the first one. That's ekir, that's kana, 151, which is mikveh. And it says that is inclusive of all the other three. Right? Aleph Nahat Hey. Hey Aleph. Yud Abdal and Hey Aleph. And then you have two Yuds. Aleph Nahat Hey. Hey Yud. Yud Abdal and Hey Yud twice. That's just the way it works. Once and then another time. So, all of those, the Zohar says, is tshuva. Renakon also brings this idea. It's Ekya Anazem. I'm heavy. I'm preparing myself to be. So, when you say that that's inclusive of all the Ekyas, that means that every aspect of tshuva is a mikvah, right? So he'll think for me and say, yeah, that's right. Did you ever think of that? Maybe not. I don't know. It depends how deeply you thought, and it depends on the back. If he's abreast of it and he understands it, you should have. I'm sure every person who went to Nikvah says he knows the tshuva. I mean, everyone knows the tshuva. And there is, it's clear. It's very, very clear. So you get to Nachla Elyon, the Bechina Bina, where a person overcomes, he's not in the world anymore. We're just moved and we're somewhere else, woken up. Not in nature anymore. That's what a Nikvah is. It's somewhere else. That's what we're trying to do. We're going down the Nachla Elyon. There are these seven names, Ekiyaku, which we're not going to learn about now. We'll learn about it when it comes relevant later, about Kabbalah Shabbos, which is a great deal of what Shabbos is about. The reason why we're going to learn about it, though I'm trying to sort of give the Chassidus for the names more than just saying out the names themselves, maybe that's a mistake. I don't think so. I think it's too heavy sometimes to do names and permutations sometimes. Well, maybe we'll change them. Maybe people will want differently. We'll work differently. We'll see. So the first these names we're going to learn about particularly because the Rizal says anyone has these names in mind, it helps out Baal Tshuva very much. And we all want to be Baal Tshuva, Baal Tshuva. At least I know I do. So it'll help us. If it helps us, that's when I learned that, I said I must learn about these. I must learn what these names are as soon as possible. Before that, I just read it, but I didn't bother sitting and like working out what, like when you do this book and you think this name or that name, it's like whatever, okay, whatever it is, fine. You read about it and you're hoping to have good mastery. And like, no, you're supposed to think these names. He says, this kavana helps Baal Tshuva, so that's for me important. That's why. So we will learn about it, but not here. We're not going to sit now. That's also the beginning of Eke and Yud Kevav. We're trying to fix the hay, basically. And so we have this Eke, this aspect of Tshuva, the aspect of Yud Kevav, and we're going to hopefully fix the hay. That's what we want to do. Fine. Okay, that's good for now. So we have these seven shemas of Ekiyaku, which we'll learn about later. They're each one a permutation of different yudin in how you write the shema by yud kev of k. Three yuds in one way and three yuds in another way. However you write exactly, we'll probably see that eventually again. So you have different ways. There are seven of those. You have seven, again, you see there, this is the bechina of bringing Hashem into my life in every aspect. As we saw yesterday, the bechina of chesed, very high places. Chesed b'chlal. Mikvah b'chlal is supposed to make us think about other people and realize I have to try to be part of. We're all a team. We're all one together. That's why the Peleoid points out it's very, very detrimental when a person wants to be over his friend. When I see you have a low voice, I want a better car. I don't know exactly. I see you have this. How much did you get in your paycheck? I want a better one. I want more. I want. And it's closely to Ruchnius when I feel like, you know, I learned more. I learned another hour more than you. Oh, I'm above you. I learned it. I'm higher than you. So that's very bad. That's like really terrible. 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 It's. But what it really comes down to is that you want, in spiritual terms, when you think about it, it's really terrible. Because what it means is, I don't want Hashem to have as much nachsura, as much pleasure. You should have pleasure just for me, not for me. What do you mean? What do you think? You should be happy. We're part of a team, we're serving Hashem. We're all from the same army. We're fighting one enemy, we're trying to build one thing. You know, so why are you upset? His mission went better than your mission, who cares? We're just trying to be part of a teamwork here. It's like, why are you limiting? This is a very, very person who becomes filled, he is consumed with himself, with all emotions, his own thing. It's not, why should you feel that way? And I have to learn how to be more caring to other people, which means just trying to help a person, trying to be less selfish. And we're trying, but that's what we're working on. I mean, there was a certain advanced student. This student, is learning Zvachim. It's one of the hardest tractates, the whole Talmud, very, very difficult to learn. And Chaim called him in. He said, I'd like you to learn with this weaker student, teach him. So this young man, he said, no, I'm very sorry, I'd love to do it, but I'm really focused in learning my own now. And I'm really progressing very, very at a fast, clear pace. And I don't have the ability to put my mind in somewhere else. And this young man can't follow me. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it. Just lower myself for him. I can't do it. Chaim didn't say anything. He left. A month later, this person comes into Chofetz Chaim. He says, Rebbe, I have a question. Tosus, Mizrachim, one of the Tosuses, comes out not like somewhere else. I don't understand. It's not like another Tosus. Says something which answers every question here, but earlier Tosis seems to say otherwise. The time here, he wrote on Tachin, Mizrachim, he knew it very, very well. He wrote Likut Halachas on it. It's only Likut Halachas. He was trying to work out the Halachas. Mizrachim, especially, he wrote, we have a union, we have a deep discussion of various things. He's really holding these things, he was a Kohen, he's really holding these Halachas. So the Chaim looked at him for a moment. He said, aren't you the young man who didn't want to learn with the weaker student because he would get in the way of his progress? What does your question of Tosis have to do with me? So we have to know, we tend to think just in a very linear way. I gotta move, I gotta advance, it's about me. We have to try to learn how to think about trying to help people and trying to advance other people too, not just myself. That's very important. And that's a little part also what a mikvah is. That's sort of the chesed of a mikvah. Mikvah is supposed to transform, it's transformative, right? I'm going to mikvah and I want to be a different person. I want to change. I want to change everything. That's what a mikvah is. Change everything. That's what a mikvah is. You have to learn how to. That's the bechenes of the yud. We want to put the yud in where we are. We need a yud. That's also why a yid's called a yud. A yud, a Jew, a yid, right? You have a yid. That's just what I'm saying. I mean, so we have this bechenes of trying to be a real Jew, be a real person. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I want to be, and that of course starts with a lot of happiness and joy. I have to connect to my mitzvahs. I can't be the place where they don't mean anything to me. That's supposed to be my most important thing. I have to be happy with my mitzvah. I work on it slowly but surely, like being happy. I put on the phone today. That's worthwhile forever. One time. That's the Kalis kid. I'm Kalim Kalis. This older man came to him. He was in, I think it's very, and you know, the food here wasn't great. The conditions weren't wonderful in those years, 200 years ago maybe. And he said, Rabbi, I'm 7 years old. And again, people were healthier than today as well. We have a much Shem today, 70 is like maybe 90 for us, depending on the person's health and things. But some 7 years old, I have nothing to live for. Except nothing. There's nothing in my life. Nothing. So the Kafka understood that he was in a place of self-pity and that this person needed to get it over the head. I would not necessarily recommend giving it to someone over the head unless you really you have a feeling you're right. Not only have a feeling, you better be right. If not, they're going to ask you, why'd you give it to someone over the head? He had his feeling, and he gave it to him over the head. He said, you old fool, you put on tefillin and you have nothing to live for? 70 years of life is worth for one time tefillin. Once. Not twice. One time tefillin. That's all he did. It's worth it 70 years. And you say you have nothing to live for? How could you? He totally... So again, he understood that this person needed this. You have to really be on the level to know. Like, the author of Slabodka was a very big expert at giving people, pushing them away and getting closer, figuring out something's gave it on the head, something's... So this person wrote a book about him and about the Bali Musar. He spoke with a lot of students and he said, I never met anybody who said that he was wrong. He said, many people said, I thought he was wrong. He mistreated me. That's what I was sure of. But like 10 years later, 5 years later, 15 years later, he was on the money. He had me exactly right. Got me. That's what I needed to help my advancement. But he had students that came to America and didn't understand the American voice, and they made terrible, terrible instruction because they didn't know what they were doing. They had no idea what they were doing. And they would just do this, and strong, and this, and yell, and you just didn't get it. You didn't get the signal the way. Maybe because it's a different culture that they didn't understand. I don't know. I don't want to judge anyone. But you can't go yelling at someone unless you really know what you're doing. That's for sure. But you know, first we have to know that every mitzvah, every good thing is eternal. We just have to purify ourselves of all the stuff holding us back from seeing that. It's all a matter of yud. It all comes down to the yud. Everything is yud. We're Jewish, we're part of the Jewish people. That's why when someone makes you trouble, or Mark says, don't fight him back so we can get a cut on your finger, you yell at him, hey, why do you hurt me? It's the same finger, the same person, you bandage it, you try to help it whatever way you can. You don't give it back, you know, that's not fighting, and people have time for fighting. Well, where did you get this time from? We don't have time for this. It's the worst thing in the world. Look, it's the worst thing in the world. Should help us protect us from it. All this mikvah is after. He says, you have machlokis, but mikvah is very powerful. But Nasa, during the time he used machlokis, he went twice to mikvah. That's awesome. Before davening, I think, just to get another mikvah, and it helps you machlokis. Mikvah is the opposite of machlokis. It's all, we're just connected to Hashem. We're just one with Hashem. That's what mikvah is. And again, all these beautiful bechinas of Yud. You're part of the Jewish nation, you're part of the Jewish people, and we're just all one. Not two, not three, one, like one person. That's what we're trying to do with the mikvah. That's all these ekid, all these bechinas of tshuva, and all these shema vayas of trying to live right now in the moment, right this second, bring Hashem now. That's a shema vaya. And all that's what the mikvah is. We'll see when we learn. When we learn about the mikvah of Shabbos, we'll again go through the shemes, what they are. It's the same, it's not that. All you do is you have to write it out and spell it. You spell it with a yud, you spell it with a yud and one aleph, you spell it with hayes, and you spell it with olives, and you spell it with doubles. Right? Doubles, yud, vav, dalet, it's always the same yud, and the doubles is ben, it's hey and hey, vav and vav, hey and hey. That's 52 names. Ben, and that's the lowest level, as we know. Called Ben Rotimil Hashem to said because you have to know you are a child of Hashem. I'm Hashem's son. That's what I'm doing here. That's the whole you have a role that you don't have. The first thing you have to know is I'm Hashem's son, he loves me, and he lifts my head, and he gives me out. That's your focus, that's your foundation. Not that you have nothing. That's the first thing. Then we have the next level is Ma. Ma is Gematria. Adam, Ma, what? Comes the Bechinah. Adam, he's a person. Ben also, that always says, is Behema, because the person is still, he hasn't purified the blood yet. Not he's got a lot of impulses that are pushing him around. Then we have Ma. Ma is again Yud Vav Dalet, and that's all Alephs. Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, and another Hey Aleph. That is Gematria 45. Adam, person has to be a person. He takes the Dam Ribinach and Brace of Lari and the Zohar and puts an Aleph in there, puts the Shem of the Dam of the blood by making Dome, by being quiet in the face of his lack of success, of his difficulties, of his imperfections, and of people giving it to him over the head, he's quiet, doesn't let it bother him. It's really hard, okay, I'll do my best. So that gets in the place of Ma. Then we have Sag. Sag is all Yud except for the Vav. So you have Yud of Dalet, and it's Hey Yud, Vav, 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 and another Hey Yud. That's Sag. Sag is Gas, that's the Bechino. First, it feels himself Gas means even you can call it Behema Gasa, a thick-skinned animal, thick, person feels himself. He's transcending nature with Hashem, and he's on fire for Hashem in a different place totally. And at that place, he's able to understand one thing from the other, and reject what's bad, and take what's good. That's the beginning of Tzad. And then we have Av is all Yud. Yud, Vavdal, Heyud, Vav, Vav, and then another Heyud. That is Gematria Chesed. That's where a person is totally with Hashem. It's only me. It's only me and Hashem. I don't exist. Totally pure, with no problems, with no troubles. But the person is totally nullified. They're really not talking about getting nailed and he just pulls everything off and jumps up to his place. That's the Av. Okay, so those are the four different permutations of the Shema Shabaya. And then we have Eke, the same thing. Aleph Mem Pei is the same for all of them. And then we have Hey, the Yud is Hey Yud, both Hey Yud, and then we have Aleph Hey Yud. It's Yud Bav Dalet, and then Hey Yud, right? So that's Eke with Yud. And we have Aleph Mem Pei, Hey Aleph. Yud Bav Dalet, Hey Aleph, that's Aleph, and then Aleph Mem Pei, Hey. Yud Bav Dalet, Hey. So all of that together is Tarpas, Porat. So, in case you should make a mistake, Chas V'Shalom, and say that this is Kabbalah, this is not Kabbalah, because Rabbi Nachman brings it in the Quran, in the Northern Torah days. This is where he brings Porat, Tarpas, he brings it over there. Come on, show it to you. And this is most of the Kabbalah of the Mikvah Shabbos by day. Tarpas by day, you think this, plus a Yud Mehei, and that equals Tarpas, Porat, plus 15. Is Shabbos. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about. He said, and you also like a Kohen Gadol, like a high priest, changing your garments from one garment to the, you know, like Yom Kippur, you're now the new, because it's a totally, Shabbos for today is a totally different level. And now you're on a totally higher level, you're in a different place. Totally, that's the reason. Those two things are your main mikvah and kavana on Shabbos for today. So on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, so we have just the Ekkes, RKUK, and different kinds of Ekkes. And the Ek is a kisei, it's a chair to the different levels of Havaya, but you're not there yet of the living in the second instant on every aspect. That's Shabbos by day, that's a Friday. And Shabbos by day, we already get to somewhere totally different. That's the Indian. So we have seven Yuds, all the Yuds of the Havayas, there's seven of them. Those seven Yuds are these seven names, which we'll see about. On Shabbos, the Davening, where he says it's difficult to think about these names, and Bez Hashem will do it better. But basically, what it comes down to again, you have this Bechina, we have the Nachal. We're trying to get Nachal.
And what do you think is the reason that every Orthodox Shul does not have its own Mikvah? Does not have a Mikvah, not its own Mikvah. What I'm thinking is you're talking about Orthodox Shuls that have Mikvahs and those that don't have Mikvahs. Mm-hmm. There's not really no wrong or reason. Just one wants to happen, and everybody else says, okay, we we'll use theirs. And I'm thinking that if mikveh is so important to everybody in Judaism, and that's like an important concept, why isn't the struggle to get a mikveh in every Orthodox synagogue, I'd be a radical, that's Orthodox, every Jewish institution. I mean, more Jews go to Jewish community centers than anywhere else. Okay? In a normal day, you have 10,000 Jewish people go to a Jewish center.
Wow.
Okay? You don't have 10,000 people that go to Daven. And, there's no opportunity. These people are never going to go to an Orthodox shul, most likely. Many of them, thousands of them. So all of a sudden, if you have one at your Jewish community center, but then everybody screams, it's Orthodox, it's them, not us. We're not the same. We're different. We know more. I don't know. Better.
It's very, very hard. I feel tremendous compassion for these people because they're exposed to a watered-down Judaism. And then when they see what it is, and they say, well, it's like not serious, it's light,
it's ancient times.
It's just meaningless. It's just rituals, sort of, that we're trying to learn something from, to salvage something from all their wasted heritage or whatever. So then, when you tell them there's Torah, he thinks, yeah, I've been there. I know what that is. I've been there. There's nothing there. You guys, you're just like Khamenei's. Like, you know, I live the Quran, so you go to some world more religious guy. What's the difference, Mom? I don't care. I learned it. It's not for me. That's what he thinks. And he's certain that that's the way it is. He's 100% sure.
I mean, they would prefer putting in a swimming pool, an Olympic-sized swimming pool, indoors, rather than putting it in the...
It's not their fault. Someone has to teach them what these things are. Even a little bit. What is it? When you don't know what it is, it becomes a separate thing. I must remember, I had a student who came for Shabbos. He'd been a few Shabbos and he was about Mishnah Torah, little and this. He was totally not religious. And when we spoke, it was very strange. It was a weird Shabbos. We had a long, very nice Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. We had a great Shabbos on Friday night. I had a few really friends over and like, hey, you gotta start school of law, you gotta start teaching it. It was 3 years ago. So I was like, okay, you come. After Tuesday night, come on over, and we'll do a thing. That Tuesday night, one of those three or four boys got engaged, and that was when his thing was the lechaim. Whatever, all those boys were at lechaim. So I'm waiting for these. I figure the guests from the kotel, they're not going to show up, right? And these guys, they're not religious. I mean, we try to if they like the Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, but I don't know, they're going to show up. These guys, they're going to show up. And those guys, nobody showed up. And two guys from the Kotel showed up. Like, okay, great. So we spoke. And I spoke with this, you know. I got a name. I got his money. We got up his email. And we got in touch a little back and forth. We're like, what should I do? I want to advance. I'm like, boy, I think maybe you should try to form a census. He's like, nah, I don't think so. What? And he's really into these little things. It took him quite a while. Eventually, he became religious. And then he said, I'm Russian, my father never gave me a bris. Do you think maybe that has to do with I'm not finding a shidduch yet? I said, yes, and we had a discussion, but also it's only Baruch Hashem with a bris. Married Baruch Hashem. It's very, it's complicated to people don't know what it's about. They don't understand. Even like one session of learning what Hanukkah, we learn what Hanukkah is about. We learn what Hanukkah is a little bit. Say, wow, this is such deep, beautiful ideas. It becomes something else. It's like, wow, this is not, it's not just jewels. Well, now you light the candle. Same to Chinese, a tea party, whatever they call it. I don't know, tea ceremony, whatever it is. I guess tea party is a little irreverent. I honestly don't know. I didn't mean anything by it. But I'm just saying, it's not just a
mouth. Every community center in America voted to be open on Shabbos. They all voted independently. Mm-hmm. It would have been really nice if somebody would have said, okay, we're also going to build a mikveh.
Uh-huh.
In other words, okay, be open on Shabbos, reject the mikveh. There were openings. There's always been openings. I mean, I just think, it hurts me to see, I mean, when I was younger, believe me, I wouldn't use the word priest to see. But today I understand more the value of these things that They become more part of your life and your lifestyle, and it's not so foreign to you.
It's very not easy. How do you reach these people? What do you do to reach these people? Explain to them what is this?
It's extremely painful when they say, "Oh, I've been to the Shears. I don't want to do it."
Oh, that's for sure.
I mean, it's just we read. Hosting Rosh Hashanah dinner or Pesach, whatever, some holiday where we really didn't want to do it, but it said, okay, you're basically the assistant Rav, even though I wasn't. It's like I was always out there in the community, and it's like, okay, you're hosting people, and okay, but it's like when I hear that, it's like ripping my guts out.
It's hard. It's very hard to wake people up. My experience is, one thing I can tell you.
I'm sorry for dumping, but it's just like.
Oh, no, it's everyone who has guests feels the same way. We all feel the same way, where it's like, how do you help this person? Never. What do you do? There's no, the Chabad Chaim, the Tolach Chabad Chaim. We have a Chevra Shmir Shabbos in America. There's a group of people who are Shemir Shabbos. Shemir Shabbos. Why are you crying, Rabbi? There's 1,000 people Shemir Shabbos. You need to have a group of Jews Shemir Shabbos. Everyone should be keeping Shabbos. It's not like they're saying Tikkun Chatzos at night or something. It's essential. It's what Judaism is. These people, they don't know it. So my experience, I can tell you my experience. My experience is, when you're connected to Shabbos, we're learning about what Shabbos is a little bit. Then you come in on Shabbos, and trying to make Kiddush and connect to Hashem with what Kiddush is, or drop in whatever way you can, that enthusiasm and that connection reaches people better than anything. That's more than anything. It's more than anything to do for them. It's the biggest favor. Because then that wakes the person wakes up. He feels something because you got to get around. It's not intellectual. It's not intellectual. Is an answer for everything. The answer for everything. It's not a problem. It might not be true, but that doesn't bother the person. Not a problem. So it's not true. Okay. It's not really being a falsehood. No problem. But when someone is exposed and sees a real Shabbos, it's very, 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 very transformative. Just life changing. Holy. That's the best thing. You know a little bit about Shabbos, and you're really on Shabbos, when you're on board, so there's an appeal. There's a lot of Christmas with Shabbos. What do you mean? There's something here. That's really weird. Because, like I always said, it's so true. You know, when you talk to a guy who doesn't know what Shabbos is, you say, please keep Shabbos. You know what he thinks? He thinks the same as you say, you know, if you want to live a fulfilling life, get an old fashioned diving suit they used to have with a big helmet and the crazy big thing and this long hose. And jump in the river and see us and live there. He thinks you're crazy. Just one day a week. He thinks you're crazy. Right in mind. What does that have to do with this helmet and the snorkel and this long thing and the big gloves they used to have, whatever they used to have, the heavy suit weighed down to go down to the bottom, with my being happy and fulfilled and being doing my mission in life? I think you're out of your mind. You're raving. You're nuts. That's what he thinks. So how do you get around that? Because, you know, anybody would think that coming from where he comes from. He's not unusual. It's not an anomaly. It's not like, wow, what made you think that? I mean, it's natural to think that. Because he doesn't know what this is. He didn't accept it. So we didn't say, well, what are you kidding? If you look at Jewish history, the Jews who stayed religious were the ones who kept Shabbos. You lose Shabbos. You lose Jewishness. Do you believe that Jewishness is important? Unfortunately, today, the answer might be no. But it used to be the answer was yes. And he'd say, but I don't understand the connection. It must be coincidental, because Shabbos never did anything for me. If he even kept it, which maybe he never even bothered, never did. Why should I leave myself? I'm not supposed to smoke. What do you think? Someone goes to the religious person's house and doesn't smoke? He needs to smoke. What do you mean? He puts a wet towel on the door, opens the window, and smokes. What do you think he does? You think he doesn't smoke? He needs to smoke. But it's very sad. Very sad. And I once had someone, his telephone went off. He had the phone. That was fun. Friday night. Just said, please, if you could. You know, if you even have to, you know, you try your best to be here. Because he doesn't know what are you talking about? What, it's like Sunday. He says, don't answer the phone today. Why not? Why should not take a shit? I'm taking a cigarette. And my body says, I need a cigarette. What do you think? What am I? A sugar? I'm normal? Maybe I shouldn't have any cigarettes. Okay, that's a different point. You're right. I shouldn't have any cigarettes. But if my body says, you need that nicotine fix, I need it. What do you want from me? I need it. And if I get a phone call from someone, it's going to wait 10 minutes. I don't care who it is. If I need that, I need it. I'm not answering the phone. That's how a person feels when he's in control by nicotine addiction. It's the same thing with Malacha. Malacha may be even worse. Not turn on the lights, cancel the phone. I feel no texting. The people who keep Shabbos who are half Shabbos, right? Because that's a text you mentioned, right? It's a text. Actually, I think the floor said, yeah, texting, is that really breaking Shabbos? Like, what are you joking? But he's there, he's desperate. He's addicted. Not the text. I mean, I text 80,000, right? What is it, a month, whatever it is, words. Right? I can't not text. I just can't do it. I can't live that way. I mean, forget it. That's impossible. Can't. So how do you wake someone like this? That's the question. How do you wake him up and says, and you don't expect next week, he's no way going to keep Shabbos next week. It's not even good for him to keep Shabbos next week. He can't. So he has to take the next step. So what's the next step? To realize that Shabbos is important. You have to want to come back, want to experience the Shabbos. But you want to be the table, you want to be the person where people come and they say, you know, there's something to this Shabbos thing. This is not crazy. Because I went down there in the diving suit, and I did it, right, the Shabbos dinner, and there was something there. I don't know what it was, and I'm anyway busy with my music and my internet or whatever, but still, there was something struck me, let's investigate. That's all you're trying to for. That's your whole goal, nothing more. And hopefully, eventually, he'll come back, and then he'll say, yeah, this is so strong, I'm going to keep Shabbos. Hopefully, that's what we're hoping. You know, you want to meet people. You want to see. You want to get feedback. People say, "Your table made me keep Shabbos. That brought me to keep Shabbos. Because I felt inspired. And I wasn't holy, but I didn't know what it was. But I must find out what this is, because this was a weird... I never had that before. There's some deep spiritual content here I just never experienced. And there's good Torah, and everything's good, everything's great, and good food, everything's good, but there's something there, because you're connected to Shabbos. So if you're connected to Shabbos, you can help someone else connect to Shabbos. But this is the one of the best ways of connecting to Shabbos. Yearning, first of all, and then learning a little bit about what Shabbos is. Drop a little, this is nothing. Again, like I said, the Kol Yaakov brings all this. And before he brings it, he says, no one ever told us what Shabbos is. We don't reveal what it really is, so I'm also not going to. Then he brings all these different things, a summary of what this and this and this and this and this, 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 this. Deep stuff. He explains it all. And he says, I'm not explaining anything. I'm not explaining anything. Don't think you understand. You don't. So we don't want to understand. We just want to connect to Hashem, really, through Shabbos. This is one of the best ways to do it. So we go to the mikvah on Friday, we want to do tshuva. If you can't go to the mikvah on Friday, do tshuva. Don't be depressed, I can't go to the mikvah. Do tshuva. Do tshuva. Say Hashem, I want to do tshuva. I have no idea how to do tshuva. Tshuva is tashuvah. Okay, help me do it. I don't know what to do. Help me do it. You need better. Help me realize these people are coming to my house. I want to give them a neshama. Bo neshama is something, there's no neshama there. There's something missing. It's hollow. It's not his fault. What's the proper reaction? Probably just to cry, or to faint, I don't know. Because there's no words for what you're supposed to really feel with someone such a misgame. It's so sad. What happened to you? Where are you? Oh, my grandfather, what happened? Such anti what? Define for yourself. That's all we have to do. It's like the Nachman gives us the prescription. Turkey Prince, yeah, you gotta get under the table with him, and you gotta... You can't tell them get dressed and get up to the table. You don't think you're crazy. Oh, sure. Do this, do that. I also live in the world. But we want to connect to Shabbos. That's really the answer. And the more that's the brisker of also. The more we connect to Shabbos, the more people will realize that you might have an opinion, you know, Yom HaTzimut, you might hold one way, you might hold the other way. I don't care what you hold. Shabbos is not comparable to Yom HaTzimut, because Shabbos is the absolute, complete, bond between us and Hashem. Shabbos is like the ring. Sometimes when you, how do you know this engagement's over? Can't you throw it back the ring? Okay, then you know you have a problem. You say we have a problem. So that's Shabbos. You know, it's good. There are different ways of looking at it, and that's wonderful. And the fact that Hashem saved us is, of course, everyone would say it's a beautiful one. But that's not Shabbos. Shabbos is something else entirely. It's not chag in there. It's not chag. It's so, let's say it's a holiday. Let's say, let's put it in this stream of thought, and that's totally authentic Jewish. No problem. I have no problem. Great. You're going with this one. Excellent. He holds that way. He's a great person. I go with him. Excellent. No problem. But not Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. You don't need to close stores on your own. It's not Shabbos. If you want to close stores, fine. But there's no comfort. There's no. It doesn't compare to Shabbos, unless you think Shabbos is some shallow day, which the custom is not to have stores open for some reason, whatever. There's not any good reason, real reason, or deep reason. It doesn't mean anything to my life. It doesn't change my soul. I keep Shabbos. I just whatever you close doors. So we close doors in Yom HaTzimut. So what's the difference? There's something missing. There's something so missing. That's what I'm saying. Like on Yom HaTzimut itself, I was like, wow, the people are comparing it to Shabbos. Like, again, I have nothing against it. You want to go with the great authorities who will say to do it. It's wonderful. Even say hello. If you go with those people, I understand that. I don't maybe understand the reasoning so well. Okay, so what? That doesn't mean it's not authentic or valid. It's authentic as valid. The great people, that's what they hold. Fine, great. But to compare to Shabbos, like, no way. Forget it. This is that's like, I mean, I can't even think of a good example. It's like comparing Yom HaTzimut for my love for my child. Sorry. Something is missing there. And I don't even know if it's even enough. You can make up connections. Oh, it is because mine was good. However you want to say it, and I understand where you're coming from, but like, Shabbos is our life. It's everything. Shabbos is everything. Actually, we don't see it. We don't understand. But the world is created because of Shabbos. The world is recreated every week because of Shabbos. We don't begin to understand. By the way, when you're speaking about Shabbos, I don't remember. I don't remember who it was, so my apologies. But did someone always keep Shabbos? I don't remember who. I'm afraid to say. right? So that question came up, right? I don't remember who brought it up. Sorry.
What was the question?
Did someone always keep Shabbos? Because the world is based on keeping Shabbos. So I said the Rav Tzadik has two ways of looking at how he explains the Aruch HaYom HaKadosh, which seems to say the yes. But I found in Sefer Doros, the Sefer Doros says that Adam HaRishon told Mr. Shalach, kept Shabbos and gave it to Mr. Shalach, and Mr. Shalach gave it to Noach. So there always was someone keeping it. Noach gave it to Shem, and Shem gave it to Avram. So there was always someone keeping Shabbos. Nefida. According to that, there was someone always keeping Shabbos, actually, that's what it seems to say. It's the Sefer Doros. Oh. So I hope Hashem will help us be Zocha to fulfill, learn to fulfill, or the mikvah feel the joy, Sefer. Holy Shabbos. Okay, now we're up to Patrick.